Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. Join us this summer on PPV.com, our proud presenting sponsor, with some huge fights that are coming down, one of which we'll talk about on this episode, a little cliffhanger. And there's a lot of fights coming up this summer. There's a lot of fights coming up this weekend. There's a lot of fights. We're just right in the middle of it, and PPV.com has you covered, whether it's outstanding content with our faces or whether it's on fight night, where you can join us in the live interactive chat. Go to PPV.com, go to their social media, follow along, subscribe, all that good stuff. Chris, I am here in New York City. It's been one heck of a week already for this Times Square card, which I think is starting to captivate everybody. I think everyone's starting to be like, wow, this is actually happening. I was there. I've been in Times Square all weekend at the events. I saw the ring. And I'm telling you guys, it looks like an app. It looks like a movie set. This is going to be some scene on Friday night in Times Square. Wow.
Yeah, leading up to this, I was saying that that the promotion dropped the ball on marketing this fight night, the Times Square show. But it seems like they're really ramping it up. And every day it's all over social media. You can't open up your Instagram without seeing, you know, shots of the ring, things in build, people doing interviews. So it does kind of seem like they were waiting for the Eubank Ben fight to be over with and then really just hit it full blast this week to get ready for this fight. So yeah, it's picking up, man. And it's starting off a crazy weekend of awesome fights. Yeah. Back to back to back nights of fights. This is cool, man. Fight season. We always talk about it. It is launching, and it's Cinco de Mayo weekend. So that's a nice cherry on top.
Yeah, this is a different type of Cinco de Mayo weekend. I'm thinking about years past. Yeah. Mayweather, De La Hoya, whoever on Cinco de Mayo. This has always been a major fight weekend in Las Vegas with one singular main event. This year with Canelo over in Saudi Arabia, it's different. This year we're looking at a lot of quantity, some quality, but a lot of quantity. Instead of making it one night with one mega fight featuring the sport's biggest star, which it usually is, we do have sport's biggest star this weekend. Five of sport's biggest stars.
Yeah.
But we're getting it. We're getting it over a course of a weekend rather than one night. But yeah, the New York City stuff is nuts. I've been in there all week getting content. It's been fun. Talked to a lot of names. Talked to Oscar De La Hoya. Talked to Rolly. Talked to Devin and Ryan. And Teofimo's crazy. That dude stole the show. The press conference, I thought the Wednesday press conference is what we thought this was going to be. It lived up to finally all these crazy names on the stage. I guess it took getting closer to the event. I guess it took a little bit of Bill Haney. I guess it took a live crowd. Our guy Wade Plem asking the right questions as the host. But the press conference lit up. And, man, it got me everyone in there excited. It had fans in there, too, which were going crazy. So I think what you guys said, like once they get all up on that stage and we get closer to the fight, the presser delivered.
Yeah, when you have all those characters, you put them on in the same place, and we're close to fight week. Guys are cutting weight. Guys are a little hungry. They're around each other. I'm going to punch you in the face soon. You're going to get those characters showing up. They're going to start jibber-jabbering at each other, and it's finally happening. We're finally getting those guys to come out of their shell because they are, you know, so close to the fight and actually little proximity to each other. So let's get this going. Why not?
Did you see Oscar? He tried to get after Oscar. Bill.
I did. He opened up his jacket. He got up. He had to have people stop him. Oof. You don't want Oscar De La Hoya coming after you. I, Bill, like I know you. I'm sure you're a tough guy in the streets, but De La Hoya is a different animal, bro.
Bill's a heel. I love Bill Haney, the heel. Devin's playing into the heel role. Yeah, Oscar had, I did a little interview with him. He had on like a three-piece double-breasted, like probably like a Giorgio Armani jump off. And he told me some crazy stuff about Jake Paul that I'm sure you're going to love. And yeah, it's been a great week. Thanks to Undisputed Video Game for sending me out to all these events. And hopefully we have them on board for the long haul because the video game is sick. We got to get Algieri in the game. So I think that's the next move. Downloadable character, Chris Algieri.
I was supposed to be in the game a while ago, and I traveling issues. I wasn't able to actually go and do the whole
thing
and set up. And then I was just like, maybe it'll come up later. But yeah, and I was already supposed to be in the game, but I never went through with the actual showing up to the studio.
That's so funny because I did the same thing. CompuBox has been in the game since day one. We are like an early sponsor of the game from when they first started developing it. So we have a good relationship with Ash, who's the creator and who created Steel City Interactive, who makes the video game. And, you know, I had asked him, I was on his case years ago, like, hey, man, get me in the game as like a podcast host. Get me in the game in some capacity, like manager mode or like career mode. You have to stop by and do an interview with Dan. So I think we got so close to me having to go to like San Diego to their studio. Yeah. Like, I think I was in LA at the time at the end of a bachelor party. And I was like looking at changing the plans. I was completely shot at the end of a bachelor party. And I could have went, but I was like, I'm just going to go home. Like, there'll be another time. And then it's like one of my biggest regrets is not getting scanned into a video game and being immortalized forever. So I'm glad you share the same regret as me.
It was funny. I pretty much did the same thing, and I have zero regrets. I did not want to go there and do that. I mean, listen, it'll probably end up happening anyway. I'll probably end up being in the game anyway. We both probably will. So it'll work out. But yeah, that's funny that we both have the same experience.
Happens. What else is going on this week? The ring looks cool. I walked past it. I walked past it on Tuesday when it was just starting to get built, and now it's like done. And Oscar just put out a video inside of the ring. They have it situated they have, like, you know where the ball actually drops? That's in the way back. So it's at the front end of Times Square, next to where like the New York City Police Department little like hangout is. Like, they have that building. It's like a tiny little hut thing. Mm-hmm, so it's not a lot of space. Like, when they say like 300 people, they're going to be packed into that. And I guess fans will be able to watch on the screens. Like, I don't know about that. There's no tickets. I know that. There's going to be 300 seats for dignitaries. I know Mike Tyson is coming into town. But then there's also like a media type of lottery of some sort. Like, I haven't even gotten confirmation if I'm going to be there Friday night. Like, I got my confirmation for fight week, but in the email, it's like, well, we still don't know about Friday night. So I'll either be watching it ringside or I'll be on my couch. Either way, I'm cool.
Yeah. Either way, you're cool. Cool guy.
Thank you, man.
From what I was reading and understanding, it seems like most people that are going to be who are not inside the arena or inside the sectioned off portion are going to have to watch it on the Megatron, because you're not really going to be able to see the ring from the outside. But that's still pretty cool, man. If you're in Times Square and you can just kind of look up and watch professional live boxing on
huge
a big
names,
Megatron,
too.
That's cool, man. It's very cool. This is, as we're getting closer, this is getting cooler and cooler.
No, it's great for the sport. And Rick Reno, who is the ring something, he so when we were planning this, I think he's the CEO of Ring. He said when we were planning this, we could have let the venue be the star and put on maybe like one name versus like a no-hoper. He's like, but no, we wanted to put on like competitive fights. We wanted to put on the biggest names. So they got three of the biggest stars in boxing with the venue. And they're also doing something really cool. I don't know if you've been able to catch this. I don't know if they're showing it when they do the live pressers and stuff. To kick off the night, there's a battle of the badges. There's an NYPD versus an FDNY. Two random guys, two average Joes. One guy said he has to go to work on Saturday morning. Like, they have no fanfare, and they're just going up there. They're going to duke it out. One guy, the NYPD officer, is like 15-0 versus FDNY.
Oh,
he has
wow.
some crazy streak going. I'm kind of invested in that.
He's got some experience. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, so I love that they're doing that. I think that's a nice little wrinkle because, you know, FDNY, NYPD will be protecting everyone that night. They protect everyone every day in this city, this crazy New York City. So it's cool that they added that to this mega card. I think that's amazing.
That's a big deal. That's awesome.
Yeah, everyone made weight. So Ryan Garcia made weight under 147. Haney and Ramirez came in at 143, 144 for their fight. Talked to Rolly a little bit. Hilarious. He actually sided with the humans over the silverback gorilla. So that's
which apparently a lot of guys have. I've seen a lot of social media talking to fighters, and they're like, "Well, if it's 100 to me, then there's I don't even need 100." I love that.
Well, I'd asking fighters, which is the worst people to ask. But apparently, I made a mistake. I should have told Rolly no devices, no weapons, hand to hand combat, 100 men, hand to hand combat. But Rolly's point was, we can set traps. He's like, we've been catching gorillas. When that line was actually pretty hilarious. Rolly goes, we've been catching gorillas for years, man. he threw me for a loop because I was expecting him just, I asked a bunch of other fighters and they were just like, oh yeah, the gorilla. And that's not a video. I can't do anything with that.
No.
So Rolly gave me what I was looking for. He actually went with the humans and made some astute points. Like, we can trap them. Humans build skyscrapers. You tell me 100 humans can't come together to trap one silverback gorilla?
Yeah, I guess this. I mean, I guess we all make a lot of assumptions that, you know, it's going to just be 100 guys in an arena fighting a gorilla, because that's how I think about it. I got interviewed by for a carnivore podcast yesterday for nutrition stuff, and
carnivore podcast.
It came up, and I was just like, oh no, no. I'm like, listen, and this is my official stance on this. This
Chris Algieri's official stance on the gorilla versus human 100 debate.
Men, 100 men versus one gorilla. If the 100 men are like AI and like they can watch 30 guys get their heads ripped off and still fight, the humans will overwhelm the gorilla over time. But if you watch 20 guys get their head crushed between a gorilla's hand, they're all going to scatter.
I'm out.
We're not going to win. Because I'm not watching a gorilla rip someone's arms off and beat up another guy to death and be like, all right, cool, I'm next.
That's what That's what I said to Roy. It's like the first guy that gets ripped shred like limb by limb, the other 99 are like, out, peace.
I'm out.
I think some scientists are like,
Dan, it was nice knowing you, bro. I'm out.
You're running. Some scientist went over like how strong and how fast they are and like how their bones are so dense and there's like an insane amount of muscle in between the bone, and what they could just take out like 10 guys with one shove.
Bro, also their bite strength, they literally will bite through your arm. Like, yes. It's like their pounds per square inch, their PSI on their bite is worse than like a pit bull. So it's not fair.
How about one William Skull versus 100 Canelos? Or 100, no, I said that wrong. Damn it, Dan.
I was like, what?
Absolute idiot. How about one Canelo versus 100 William Skulls?
I think Canelo takes out like 60 or 70 of them.
That might make this fight interesting. That might make this fight compelling because
it's not.
Holy crap, man. Canelo Alvarez is fighting this weekend, and I love the guy. I consider him a friend, and I just think he made a mistake. I know he made a lot of money. He's just so out of the loop this weekend, like, that when I see his content come up on my phone, I'm like, oh my God, like, it's almost forgotten about it. I understand he's making $87 million, probably upwards of more with all the sponsorships. And at this stage in his career, it's looked at as like a retirement fund for his illustrious career. And he's given us so many great nights, all that. But in comparison to coming off of Eubank Ben, unbelievable crowd, coming off the scene in Times Square, where it's going to be an unbelievable setting. And then looking at the face of the sport, Canelo Alvarez, on Cinco de Mayo weekend, fighting a guy who's a 20-1 underdog in what's going to be a desolate, stale Saudi arena. It's just like, wow. Like, it is what it is at this point. Canelo's not the main attraction this weekend.
Dude, the issue, and we're big Canelo fans on this podcast. We go to his fights, and I was arguing with my man, Paul Malignaggi, who is not a Canelo fan, about how big of a star he is, because we have been to these fight weeks. How many Canelo fights have we been to in a row in the last couple of years? Like almost all of them, you know, in recent years. And they're an event. They're awesome. They're amazing. He sold out the fans, dude. He sold out his fans. He left his fans. This is Cinco de Mayo weekend. The Mexican fans come out. We've been to Cinco de Mayo in Vegas for Canelo fight weeks. They're awesome. It's all week. The Mexican fan base is, they're such boxing loving people. They show up. They love Canelo. They hang out all week long. They make it a truly, truly an event. It's like bike week. It's just crazy. The people are just around. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And he sold them out. You know, he's making $87 million, and more. And he's going over to Saudi. But like, dude, he sold out. He sold
Counterpoint.
Out. He took the money. He took the bag, dude.
Counterpoint. Cinco de Mayo weekend is not a Mexican weekend. It's a gringo, white person. Let's go to the local taco place.
Cinco
put cheese
Mayo
on our taco.
Weekend. Cinco de Mayo weekend is a fight weekend. Dude.
I get that.
It doesn't
that,
have to be a Mexican weekend.
I know, let me get to my full point. Cinco de Mayo weekend is a made-up American-Mexican put cheese on your taco holiday. I understand it's a huge fight weekend, and I'm kind of upset that I'm not in Vegas for a Canelo fight week. But he is still coming back September, which is Mexican Independence Day weekend in Las Vegas against Crawford. But at this stage in his career, when we only have X amount of Canelo fights left, I wish he was in Vegas. I think it's great for boxing when he's in Las Vegas. I think it's great for the city of Las Vegas, who needs it desperately. I don't know if you guys have been following along. Not that I don't know if anyone has any sympathy for Las Vegas, but they're struggling. Like the hotels are not filling up. The casinos are not filling up. When Mayweather was there for 10, 12 years straight, twice a year, he was an economy on his own. He generated hundreds of million dollars. And Canelo would do that. Not only that, for his fans and just what it means for boxing. Like, there's not too many stars left in this sport that can carry
a
full weekend.
Is this a counterpoint, or are you making my point for me? What are you doing?
The counterpoint was the beginning. And then I talked myself back into being upset. The counterpoint was the beginning that he will be back in September. September's the real Mexican weekend, and he's fighting Crawford, which – at this point, I think fans are okay with that. But there is another part of me that's like, damn, him and Saudi getting on that plane. I wonder how he feels about it, because he will never tell you, because he's not going to regret it when you're making that much amount of money and what they're willing to pay him. But when he got on that plane out to Saudi, I wonder what he was thinking. And now he's been there for a few weeks, and all the buzz is over here. Inoue's fighting Sunday night in Vegas. Well, there'll be some eyes on that. He has the least amount of eyeballs this whole weekend will be on Canelo.
Dan, he doesn't care, man. It's the money. This was a money grab. He's going out there. He's making triple his normal fee. I don't think he's going to be thinking so much about that. He's going to be counting the dollars on the flight home. You know, he might be thinking like, oh man, I got to go all the way out here. I got to fight at 6 a.m. or whatever time he's going to have to fight over there. But at the end of the day, dude, laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Another counter argument was that they are doing it. They're accommodating the Mexican time and they're accommodating the U.S. time. They're doing the fight super early in Saudi, and I believe everything stays the same in terms of his fights in Mexico being free. But yeah, it's interesting this weekend. Usually it's just Canelo. This is Canelo's weekend. It has been since Mayweather retired, and you know, for a while it's Canelo fighting this weekend. All eyes on him, whether it's John Ryder. I mean, or as of late, he fought John Ryder, I think, on Cinco de Mayo weekend a few years back. But this weekend,
I wonder how he's going to be with no crowd, without the fanfare, I don't mean in terms of like mentally, like, oh, I don't have my, but like he does fight with the crowd. I mean, the when he fought BJ Saunders in Dallas with all those people, and you know, he hurt Saunders. He literally is throwing his hands up in the air, getting the crowd behind him. Like, he's telling the crowd, get louder, because I'm about to knock this guy out.
Yeah, epic moment.
That was one of the most epic things I've ever seen live.
Well, even when not Saunders, when he wins a fight, he hops on that turnbuckle and it's Viva Cabrones, loud. The roar is amazing. Or even when he knocked down Berlanga or knocked down Charlo or had his moments, you know, he fought in a freaking stadium near his home city in Mexico a few years ago. That's a very interesting point, Chris, because I don't expect that many fans to be there. It's not going to be loud. The fans that are there are not Mexican, for sure. It will be interesting. Obviously, we will be watching out of sheer curiosity. Let's get into the actual fight. William Skull. Who is William Skull? Because there are some people out there who have no idea who this guy is. He's the IBF 168 champion.
That's not a good sign.
He won the fight. It was a vacant title. They stripped Canelo, the IBF. And so then Skull fights Vladimir Shishkin last October, a putrid fight, which saw 190 total punches landed in 12 rounds. Skull got outlanded 110 to 80 in the fight. He does not land. He only lands 8 punches a round. He only throws 22 punches a round. Skull. Shishkin threw nearly 300 more punches in that fight. He's 5'11". He's Cuban. He's an orthodox fighter. He's a massive underdog. That is the The 4-1-1 on William Skull. Good for you, William. You played the game. You won the fight with Shishkin. The IBF pulled something, and now you are fighting in Saudi Arabia against Canelo Alvarez. Good for you. I'm not going to knock you. Tall order.
Yeah, I was actually just watching highlights from the Shishkin-Skull fight. And
awful fight.
Seeing him get rocked with jabs in the last round, too. Like, just running into jabs and being, you know, exhausted and tired. If Canelo does not stop Skull, I'm going to say this flat out. If he doesn't go out there and dominate and stop this guy, we got a real problem. Because the face of boxing just can't do it anymore. He can't close the show, or doesn't care to. I don't see this as a competitive fight. I don't see this as an intriguing fight. I was actually talking to Robert Garcia earlier today, and he was just like, I'm probably not even going to watch the fight. And
that's Robert Garcia.
I know.
That's Robert Garcia.
Yeah, but the card's good. I will say that.
The card is good.
The card is actually good. But yeah, the main event is going to be, that's not going to be the anticipated fight of the night. That's for damn sure.
It's wild, man. This is Canelo Alvarez we're talking about. Like, I get it. We're going to be right into a big one in September, and that's going to be the biggest event of the year in the U.S.
I don't think it's a good fight. I don't like the fight. But still, it's going to be. We're like, we've talked ourselves into being like, all right, well, we got a big one coming up. Like, dude, we hated this fight.
Every fan has talked themselves into Canelo Crawford because Canelo's last five fights have just been. His last five fights have not been what everyone wanted to see. So Crawford, by like comparison, Crawford. I'm just talking about like the hoopla. It's going to be. You know, it's a mainstream event. It's going to probably be on Netflix. It's going to be back in Las Vegas. There's going to be a ton of people there, a ton of interest, a ton of casual stuff, which I think is important for the sport every once in a while. Get, you know, SportsCenter talking about it, First Take, and all that stuff. But yeah, in terms of Canelo fighting this weekend, Robert Garcia not tuning in is nuts. I mean, it's a pay-per-view, which is going to be really tough. The card is good.
I'm sure Robert's still going to tune in. He said that, but it's like, I'm sure he's still going to tune in, but still.
He's here. He's in New York. I think he's training. Yeah,
he's
Ramirez.
With Ramirez. Yep.
Yeah. So, that fight with Skull Shishkin, it didn't get him ready for a Canelo fight. And for Canelo, you talk about the stoppages, his last couple fights, it's pretty much been the same script. Knock the guy down, but then not be able to finish him. He knocked down Munguia, he knocked down Charlo, he knocked down Berlanga, but ended up getting wide decision wins. Canelo by stoppage is -225. He is predicted to stop this guy, to get his first stoppage since, I don't even know when Canelo's last stoppage was, but -225.
He didn't stop Ryder.
Was it Yildirim? I have it right here.
Was it Yildirim? Or was it Billy Joe?
Caleb Plant, 2021.
Oh, Plant. That's right. That was a good win.
2021. That was four years ago.
Wow, that was 4 years ago. Wow.
Plant fight, that was when Canelo was at the...
He was rocking and rolling. I think that was his peak.
Rocking and rolling. Peak. At the top of the peak. Maybe just coming down the peak. Like, still look, can see the peak. Look, coming down a little bit on the other side. Loses to Bivol. UD's Golovkin. UD's Ryder drops Ryder. UD's Charlo drops Charlo. UD's Munguia drops Munguia. UD's Berlanga drops Berlanga. And it's come out that he was holding up Munguia. Like, now they're training together. Munguia is on this card. It is what it is. It's a very, very wide odds here. I mean, -4,000 favorite Canelo. Canelo's stoppage is minus money. Canelo decision is +180, which he should not go 12 rounds with this guy. I'm looking at another Yildirim type of fight where he's just going to hammer him to the body.
He's going to blitz him because, again, I was watching Skull earlier. He doesn't have enough firepower to keep Canelo off him. He's not fast enough either. He doesn't really have fast hands. He can be a bit of a stinker, but I don't think he's going to have enough distance control, hand speed, foot speed, anything to keep Canelo off him, and Canelo's just going to decide when he's going to dispatch this guy, I believe.
Or he struggles, listen, then that's.
I know. I was actually talking about that earlier. If he struggles or goes the distance, this is a major, major fan turnoff. And you're starting to see fans are starting to turn. They're really not happy with the cherry picking, the kind of fighters that he's fighting, the avoiding certain guys, especially Benavidez. even the Crawford fight, I don't know. I know we're starting to we're taking our medicine with that fight. We're just like, oh, okay, we got to do it, you know. But it's not the fights that we want to see Canelo in at this stage or at any stage. The fans are starting to turn though, but I do expect him to go out there and destroy this guy, and then we're just looking to September.
Skull plus 220. Sorry, I didn't add a zero. Plus 2,000. 2,200.
To win.
My brain's a little slow today, guys.
That's money line?
No, stoppage.
Stoppage.
Skull decision. Okay. Skull decision plus 3,000.
I guess Canelo could Canelo could roll his ankle.
Add some drama to this.
Stepping through the ropes.
Add some drama to this. You know, it's funny. I'm here in New York. I'm at the presser, and I'm looking at these young guns, right? These three of the four, what were they calling them a couple of years ago? The Kings, which they're not. Even though Roberto Duran is here in New York, so I'm at the workout. He's one of the true four Kings. But coming up, it was Ryan Garcia, it was Teofimo Lopez, it was Devin Haney, it was Tank. And they were always being compared to each other and all that. But now we have three of those guys, three of the biggest stars. They're all around 26, 27, and they're now coming into their own. Like Ryan Garcia is a star. He's the headliner of this Times Square event. Devin Haney is a name. He's a villain. That's a star to me. If you're a villain, you're a star. And you have Teofimo Lopez, who's now just starting to get on that big stage. And this is like the next generation now. And it's just funny to see with Canelo actually fighting this weekend, you're seeing it almost side by side where we're finally getting these guys who are 26, 27, entering their prime, entering their big fight prime too. And then you're looking at Canelo the same weekend, not getting the same attention, not fighting the biggest names. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of a changing of the guard here. Maybe we'll see if these young guys all fight each other. But it's interesting to watch because the interest is definitely on the side of the Ryan Garcia Haney to Fimo fights and them in general.
You know what's interesting? They all have losses. Haney doesn't, and we got expunged, but he still lost. We saw him lose. And Teofimo lost to Kambosos. Ryan lost to Gervonta. And even Gervonta has that draw against Roach, which a lot of people thought he lost. So these guys, even though they're now transitioning and they're taking over a spot, a vacancy where it seems like Canelo is on his way out when it comes to big competitive fights, it's almost as if, you know, they're coming into their physical prime, but might be a little bit past, you know, when they should have been in these spotlights. They've all got their bumps and bruises, but they're still all in their 20s, right? Is any of them broken 30 yet?
No, Tank's the only 30, one. That's it.
Yeah, that's a good sign. But then Tank's talking about he's only going to fight for another year and a half or another two. You know,
well, Tank might be out of the equation. Like he might be for a number of reasons. For he's not on this side of the political spectrum. He's not with Ring yet. He's not with Turkey. But yeah, I mean, I wanted Ryan Garcia to fight Tank years before 2023. Teofimo hasn't fought Ryan Garcia yet, and Devin Haney hasn't fought Teofimo Lopez, which is crazy. But I mean, this is going to help. Here we are talking about that again, like this fight in New York City. This is going to help their profiles tremendously. Yeah, I'm just walking around the streets.
They got to get by the guys in front of them. The Barboza fight for Teofimo is a really tough fight. Even the Ramirez fight for Haney, that's not like a gimme fight, and by any means.
Right.
I think I definitely favor Ryan in the Rolly fight, but that's not really an easy fight either. Rolly's a pretty unpredictable guy and a good puncher, so. These guys have some work cut out for them this weekend.
Co-main event. Oh, yes, great fights all weekend. Co-main event on this Saudi card is a rematch. Jaime Munguia and Bruno Saras. The Frenchman is back, baby. Bruno Saras was a 16-1 underdog in the first fight. It was the upset of the year of 2024. He is now, we have Munguia as a -1,000 favorite. So Munguia is still a wide favorite. He got caught with one punch. He was winning that fight, Munguia, but that's Munguia in a nutshell. He can be winning rounds. He can have one defensive lapse, and then down he goes. And this time he didn't get up. I don't know about Saras in this one. Can he channel that again? Can he have his magic moment once again? Lightning in a bottle. That's what I was looking for. Can he do that again? I don't know. I think Munguia should win this one.
Short answer is yes, he can do it again if Munguia fights the same fight that he fought last time. He just fought a dumb fight. He was way too over his skis, way too aggressive, way too many holes, which he tends to do anyway. But he was rushing in that fight. I called the fight. I saw it happening. He was just going face first, and Suras was just waiting. He knew his opportunity was to catch Munguia as he was being offensive and throw the big overhand rights. Because even early on, I was like, I'm watching him throw some of these shots that are just whizzing by Munguia, and I'm like, this guy's throwing some real heat, and he doesn't have a lot of knockouts, but those punches look heavy. Sure enough, he caught him and put him away. So, but do I expect that to happen again? No. I think Munguia is smart. He's with Eddie Reynoso now. They're working on things that were working in the first fight that didn't work in the first fight. But to me, this is the most intriguing matchup of any of the fights across the three cards of the weekend. Because
really?
Jaime Munguia, absolutely. Jaime Munguia has the potential to be, you know, and we've talked about him. He kind of got, you know, pushed aside, but he's got a potential to be a really big star in this sport. He talks the talk, he walks the walk, he puts on exciting fights every single time. He obviously, you know, got exposed in that fight with Suras, but listen, like I said, Suras could do this again. I could see it. If Munguia has another one of those lapses and gets hit with one of these big shots, who's to say he can't get knocked out again? He's been knocked out once, been knocked out by this guy, so who's to say he can't do it again? So in terms of intriguing, the intrigue, this fight really captures my attention.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have we could have power ranked the fights this weekend. I would have this one a little bit lower because I think that Suras can't. I don't think he's going to do that again. I think Munguia is going to not fight like his normal style. I think he's going to be a lot more conservative. But the thing with Munguia is he can throw that out the window. He can be conservative for the first three. How many times have you seen him fight? Like,
oh, he's fighting a perfect fight for three rounds, and then he's like, right. I haven't got hit yet. Let me get cracked.
Yeah. Oh, I have a new trainer, and you know, every time he hires a new trainer, the trainer says, use your jab. You know, you don't have to get into a war. Your opponent wants you to get into the center of the ring. Stay on the outside, pick your shots, maybe stop them late. And then he goes, nah, I'm going to stay in the middle of the ring. I'm going to get into an absolute slugfest. And if he does that,
blood and guts.
He does that, then Suras has a chance. If he boxes and stick and move, which is not really Munguia's game anyway, but yeah, I guess I am intrigued, but it's not top of my list, but should be good. I like that they're doing the running it back. Good for Suras getting a payday again, and should he win, then he becomes a player at 168. I mean, 168 is going crazy right now between you know, we got Charla coming back, we have Plant on fighting, we have McCombie fighting Pacheco, we have Shiraz, who is in town in New York City. Saw him yesterday. Huge.
Fighting Berlanga. Yeah, giant guy.
Oh my God. He's like, that dude is, I don't know how he ever made 160. He's fighting
Berlanga.
He's listed
at 6'3, but he looks way bigger, right?
He was big. I was like, man, who's that? I thought it was like a fucking NBA player. It was Hamzat Shiraz. So 160. There's a lot of intriguing names at 168. Munguia would be good for boxing to him get in there, but Shiraz can punch his ticket once again. Martin Bacoli versus Efe Ajagba. This should be fun while it lasts. Bacoli -475, Ajagba +330. Last time he saw Bacoli, he was getting spun out of the ring by Joseph Parker, and he was pushing four bills. So we'll see if he comes in shape in this one.
He basically got off the couch, fought,
took three flights to get there.
Yeah, that was the beginning of his training camp for this fight. So. He started camp getting knocked out in front of a lot of people for a good paycheck, and now he's in with another puncher. So this is an interesting one because Ajagba can be in boring fights. You know, he was in a staring contest with what's his name, who just fought on Pro Box. Oh man, I'm drawing a blank.
But I'm pulling it up. Ajagba, Vianello, Goodall.
Nope.
Shaw.
Nope. Shaw. Stephen Shaw and him had a staring contest where he just really kept that right hand in a holster. I don't see that with Bacoli. Bacoli's not going to sit there and stare at him. Bacoli walks forward. He gets his hands going. He throws combinations. He's a very good body puncher. We even saw that in the Parker fight. He came right at Parker. He was trying to make that fight. And I think he's going to do the same thing with Ajagba. But we'll see what Bacoli's chin is like after getting starched by a guy who's not really a puncher in Joseph Parker. So Ajagba can punch, man. That right hand is legit. That thing's a cannon. But I think, like you said, this will be fun while it lasts, but I don't see this one going the route.
Yeah. Bacoli is the favorite here. He was on a trajectory about 6 months ago. He was getting people were comparing him to the modern day George Foreman, saying that this guy can boogeyman. Make a run.
He was a boogeyman. Boogeyman.
And then is it fair that he gave us an exciting moment where he gets on a flight and another flight and another flight? He's out of shape and he gets into the ring with Parker and he gets absolutely waxed, but he wasn't, like you said, not in shape, wasn't prepared, wasn't training. I mean, yeah, he was exposed in a way. He lined his pockets, but that boogeyman, that whole facade,
that aura is gone. That aura is gone. That's gone. He has the ability to get it back. If he goes out there,
yet he's still a favorite in this fight.
That's what I mean. If he goes out there and he just thrashes a Jogba, which is possible. I mean, Bacoli, I do believe is the goods. If he goes out there and he runs roughshod over a Jogba, that aura could come back, but it's certainly tainted. Once people have seen you get knocked out the way that he has, I don't care if you were training or not. That's going to be hard for people to forget.
Yeah, he's got the Yoka win to calm Jared Anderson destruction, which really put him on the map, and then the Parker loss for a Jogba. Just like, he looks the part, Jogba. I mean, he's just like, this guy, they had high hopes. They had such high hopes for him. Split decision like win over Guido.
He looks like a bad guy. In a movie. He looks like a bodyguard.
We put him in a Creed as a Rocky as the, yeah, you know, the opponent. You got that going on. Beat Goodall, stopped him. The Shaw fight was not pretty. The loss to Frank Sanchez came in 2021. That was a while back. So that's a good fight. I like that's on this card. Badu Jack is fighting in the WBC. I believe it's a cruiserweight eliminator. Cruiserweight is pretty interesting right now because Zerda Ramirez is in the mix. Chris Billiam Smith is in the mix after his win. And you have, of course, Jai Opataya, who is the class of cruiserweight. Cruiserweight is usually forgotten about. But now, I know you're not going to like this, but you know, I'm a reporter, Chris. Sometimes I'm a journalist. And I go out there and I talk to the movers and the shakers. I caught up with Oscar De La Hoya. I said, Oscar, Zerda Ramirez is on this undercard of Jake Paul and Chavez. This is not a mistake. You know it. I know it. Tell us. Are you angling Jake Paul for Zerda Ramirez? Title shot? And Oscar goes, it wasn't a mistake. It could happen. What's up, East LA?
Bro, that is just De La Hoya wearing his promoter hat, doing what Oscar De La Hoya does. Listen.
He sees dollars. He sees Jake Paul.
Of course
Paul.
He does. Sees He's Golden angling Boy. His man. Come on. It's just that's
it's going to happen, bro.
There's a big bag there. Happen. I'll believe it when I say
it's going to happen. I just
and that'll be it. That, and that'll Twitter. Be that'll be the end of Jake Paul. That'll be the end.
Well, that's kind of, I didn't ask him for his thoughts on who would win. I think he would pick his guy and want his guy. I thought that was interesting. Got that little tidbit out of. He also told me that Chavez is training his ass off.
Okay.
I said in a living room. I said in a living room, and Oscar goes, everything Chavez does is by design. He wants you to believe he's not ready for this fight. I said, okay. Interesting. It's just funny to hear like Jake
he's training Jake poolside Paul. with margaritas as his in between round sips.
Good work. It's just funny to see Oscar. He's now working with MVP on this event. Had nothing but good things to say about MVP. MVP is a great company. I work with them and Nikisa, and it's just funny because it just changes up everything when you're now working together and everything's going smooth. But
we make money together. Things are different. You make money together. I mean, and that's one thing. Oscar, he's getting his guys paid. He's going out there to find money for his class, and I can appreciate that. His stable of guys. He's always, you know, he's being a promoter. He promotes, man. He gets eyes on his guys, and he gets money in their pockets. So what more can you ask?
Yep. I had him say one nice thing about every promoter, and I haven't posted it yet, but he had a lot of nice things to say besides everyone. But guess which promoter that he just still hates?
Eddie Hearn.
No, he was fine with Eddie. He was Dana White.
Okay. I didn't expect
Dana. He didn't say anything. He didn't say a word about Dana White. He loves Oscar. Everyone else. He's willing to work with Heyman. Right. He's willing to work with everyone, but hates Dana White. Because Dana White, you know, they just have a war of words. And now TKO's entering.
I think there's going to be a lot of harsh words for Dana. You got a new guy coming into the mix. You know, it's boxing's
not a well. Shit on boxing.
boxing is not a welcoming group of people. So it's not a welcoming business at all.
Nope. But Bada Jack is back in action, cruiserweight. He can work his way into the cruiserweight picture. He's coming off of 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 fight winning streak since that loss to Jean Pascal back in 2019. I like Bada Jack. I think he's always in good fights. I think it seems, from what I've heard, good, solid guy. He's old. He's up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to be almost 40, if not
40. Why does BoxRec sometimes put ages and sometimes they don't? Not. I guess if you're old, they don't put your age on it because he's definitely 40. I think he's either 39 or 40. You know, I'm terrible with ages. It's one of my calling cards. My part of my charm on this podcast is I get ages. 41. It's a year below you.
He's been around for a while. Your age. No, I'm 41.
Still clicking.
Remember the same age.
Still fighting. I think he's got
a tough fight, though.
Yeah, I don't know much about his opponent. I'm not going to lie. It's a big weekend of fights. Yep. And
Mikhalyan, I believe his name is Mikhalyan. He's an Armenian guy. And, you know, he's never been stopped. Not a big puncher, but he's had, in recent form, he's had some good stoppages. He stopped Makabu, who...
remember he was a Canelo... Remember Canelo was flirting with cruiserweight and they had that face-off? Makabu thought he was going to hit the jackpot. He probably told his family and maybe his wife, go out and buy whatever you want. I'm fighting Canelo.
Came home in a Rolls Royce that day. Don't worry, honey, we're good. We got a big bag coming in.
Put on the credit card. And Canelo's like, nah, I think I'll just fight Bivol instead. Sorry, buddy. So that's what's going on.
And Mikhalyan is he's a Miami guy. He trains down here. He trains down here in Florida.
Sweet. Now he's in Saudi. Over to Sunday night. By Sunday night, what is your appetite for boxing? You want to watch Naoya Inoue fight. Sunday night is not usually a night for fighting. Interesting. Talk to some top-ranked people. They're intrigued by Inoue being in the U.S., but Sunday night's a tough one. You'll be there calling the action with Christina Puncher. Ramon Cardenas, step on up. You are a massive underdog. I think this is the widest odd. This is even wider than Canelo's skull is Inoue over Cardenas. Inoue minus 5,000, Cardenas plus 1,500. But the monster is back. He is fighting on U.S. soil for the first time since, I believe, 2019.
I saw that fight, too, when he fought. Actually, no, he fought in the bubble. He fought Maloney in the bubble, I believe.
He's back. He's in the U.S., and I don't expect much of this fight either.
I think it's going to be more entertaining than the skull fight because I do believe Cardenas... he can punch with both hands and he does have good boxing skills and ability. And, you know, as long as he doesn't get caught under the eye, under the lights and under the thumb of the monster, you know, he'll go out there and he'll try, and possibly make it a fight for as long as it lasts. But I can't see him winning this fight. I don't see it. And that's why the odds are the way that they are, but it's actually worth watching. Cause I do think that Cardenas will go out in a shield and he'll go out fighting and he is smart enough to make it the fight. At least competitive for a little bit.
Yeah, it's on regular ESPN. It's not a pay-per-view. It's a pay-per-view weekend in terms of the Canelo and the Times Square card. But this one is on regular ESPN. Go ahead. You can hear Chris and Christina. I'm trying to get the stat of Inoue. Inoue is just on a rampage. And, kind of like in the same Canelo boat lately in terms of this guy's pound for pound number one. He's definitely pound for pound number three. Like some people have him as high as one. And he's definitely in the Mount Rushmore right now of boxing. Top three, top four. But, you know, his last two fights, Ji-Joon Kim, TJ Donaghy, Neary won was a decent matchup. Topalis was coming off of a nice win. Stephen Fulton, everyone was excited about that.
That was huge.
So I would say it's four fights in a row. Or in this is exactly who we want Inoue in there. But, you know, as of today, Eddie Hearn just tweeted out, signed, sealed, delivered. Naoya Inoue versus MJ Akpadaliyev will be on September 14th. Which is not, how does Ramon Cardenas look at that? They're already scheduling my guy's next fight?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is what happens when you fight guys of that level. Like, it's part of the sport, man. That's where you have to sit there and be like, well, that ain't happening because I'm here to upset the apple cart. In September, we're gonna have a rematch because I'm gonna beat him, and then we're going to fight again, and I'm going to make double the bag. That's how the underdog has to look at those situations. I've been in those situations. You know, Ramon has not been in those situations yet, but this is his first time. But that's the mindset you have to have. I'm going to ruin this whole situation. So don't start booking your flights yet, because I still got to get my hands on this guy.
What's the 4-1 of Cardenas? What's his path to victory?
He can punch with both hands, and he's pretty sharp. He's a very good amateur background. He's a thinker, but which can get him in trouble sometimes, because he'll overthink and kind of keep his guns holstered. But he does have a good boxing IQ. He can punch with both hands. Inoue has looked human at 122. So he's really just got to be that kind of guy who's able to pull the trigger and find a hole in one of Inoue's combinations when he gets a little too, you know, aggressive. Because Inoue does have holes at times. He gets aggressive. He goes for knockouts. You can hit him. So that's going to be where Cardenas has to pull that trigger, find that hole, and try and slip a good one down the middle. Otherwise, it's Inoue, man. He's a monster. For real.
The 10 consecutive knockouts in widely recognized title fights, which is number one among current male champions. Not even close. Close second is number two. Close second is Janabek, who has 4 consecutive. Nakatani 4, Bam 3, and the rest are just...
Before Crawford's last fight, how long was his streak? Because he was knocking out everybody.
He had Spence. 8 in a row at welterweight.
And then, yeah, so...
He was 8... Yeah. Crawford was 8-0 at welterweight with 8 knockouts.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
So he had an 8 KO streak in world-recognized world title fights. Because I think his last fight of 40 was post-all. I think that... and that went the distance. So, yeah, he had 8, which is... pretty damn good, but not 10. Anyway, something else. Something special.
That is a crazy stat, courtesy of Comfort Box's Lee Groves.
Lee Groves. Yeah,
massive, the best. Massive favorite in Inoue. Inoue is operating kind of like a Canelo type where, you know, his future's planned out. You know, 120, he's fighting again in September against Akhmadaliyev. You know, there's talk of a December Saudi visit, which could be at featherweight. I saw Bruce Carrington at the New York City press conference. You know, he wants Inoue. Nick Ball is being floated up there, and we're talking about featherweight at this point. Will Inoue move to featherweight? You know, it's interesting to see if he overlooks some of this, because like you said, Chris, he is 30, and he is susceptible to big punches now, because if you're going to score 10 straight knockouts, you're going to put your head in there. You're going to sniff around for that knockout, and you're going to get hit. Cardenas, I'm not writing him off, because you say he can punch. But Inoue isn't as invincible as he was a little bit early on in his career. Of course, that's like any fighter. But, you know, the next couple fights after this, say Inoue gets his hand raised on Sunday night, which he should, you know, Akhmadaliyev is tough. I mean, then we're looking at featherweight, which will probably be the last weight class for Inoue. And we've talked about this numerous times. Those are big guys. Those are the punchers. Those are tough fights for Inoue.
Dan, you know how you know Bob Arum as well as I do. You know the way that he operates.
Oh, yeah. Longtime friends.
How about Rafa Espinoza on the undercard of Naoya Inoue? He's a featherweight champ.
Yep.
You know, he has got a tough guy in front of him in Vasquez, but someone that I think Espinoza should beat. I think Espinoza is actually very, very good. And he's big. He's tall. He's long for the weight class. He can punch. Fights really well on the inside for a tall guy. Listen, I mean, you guys are you're on the undercard. I know we have the MJ fight in September. But in a way, he could fight December. He could fight January. And Espinoza fight, I'm sure he would love to welcome Naoya Inoue to featherweight. And so don't check that one off if he gets past both Cardenas and MJ, which I do believe he will.
Well, Carrington, I was talking to him yesterday. I said, first off, I love the fact that after your last fight, you named names. And one of the names he didn't name, though, was Espinoza, because according to some people at Top Rank, Espinoza is not interested in the Carrington fight. But that could be, you know, they could be. Carrington wants a title fight. Espinoza is a featherweight. He has a title. If Inoue is going to be fighting, obviously, Akhmadaliyev and then moving up, unless Espinoza moves up to fight Navarrete, Espinoza versus Bruce Carrington could be a fight. And he's heading out to Vegas, he told me, on Sunday to see Inoue ringside. Espinoza is on this card as well. He is fighting Edward Vasquez. And I've called Vasquez's last fight. Edward Vasquez nearly beat Raymond Ford in one of their fights.
And a lot of people thought that he beat
Cardenas.
Cardenas, yeah, Joe Cardenas. I mean, Yeah, no, this guy can fight. He has two losses against very, very good fighters, former world champions. And also, he's fighting back down at 126. He's fighting at 130 for a while. This fight's at 26, so he's moving back down in weight.
Yeah, I like this fight a lot. This might be one of the better fights of sneaky good fight
sneaky,
that's
good
fallen
fight.
Way, way under the radar because of what a crazy weekend this has been. But Espinoza is awesome. He's always action. So that is – oh, and Emiliano Vargas is also fighting on this card out in Las Vegas Sunday night, T-Mobile. That's going to be interesting. We will end the show talking about a little bit of news that broke 2 days ago, and that is a rematch between Sebastian Fontora and Tim Zhu. Will take place most likely July 19th in Las Vegas. It's the bloody rematch, Chris. I was a little shocked that this is the fight because I was thinking it was going to be Fundora versus Zayas, and I was thinking it was going to be Zhu versus Thurman. I don't know exactly what happened. Did Keith price himself out? Apparently, there was a rematch clause, and I had to apologize to Team Zhu because I didn't know about this rematch clause because the knock was, how can you put your guy in there with Fundora on short notice, lose, and not have some insurance of a rematch clause back in March of last year? But it turns out there was some type of rematch clause where Zhu could invoke it before Fundora took a voluntary defense. So that's why this fight is happening. Fundora gives up his WBO title. Zayas will now fight for that one against the guy that Conwell beat. Hey, I don't hate it, but it's just like some more maneuvering at 154.
Yeah, I like it. You know, we were both talking about that Zhu Thurman fight, which I like that fight too. But I like this one better. I think that Zhu deserves to get another shot at Fundora. Like you said, he took it on short notice with a guy with a completely different style, different build, everything that what he was preparing for. A bit of a raw deal, especially with the way it happened with the cut and everything like that. So I think this is kind of justice being served for Zhu getting a rematch. But listen, he's got to go out there and win. You know, Fundora has gotten better as a champion, it seems like. So, but 54, one of the deepest, best divisions, most eyes on this division. This and I think 175 light heavyweight are the two deepest divisions in the sport today. Good movement, but I don't know, man. I like Zhu. I'm a fan of Zhu. I'm a fan of Tim Zhu. I like the idea of Tim Zhu being a major player in the sport.
It's there's a lot of things to unpack here. I think Fundora will be the favorite. But then you look at that first fight, Zhu was on his way to, he was piecing him up in the first couple of rounds before the nasty
right
cut. But then
Fundora's nose with a clean punch, guys. I mean, the cut from Fundora came from an elbow. It was an illegal accidental blow. What broke Fundora's nose and bled all night long was a legal right hand from Tim Zhu that he set up beautifully all night long before, you know, the cut.
Yeah, and Zhu was on his way to winning that. Zhu was the favorite. Remember, like a year ago, Zhu was the guy at 154. He was the favorite. He was a unified champion. He was supposed to beat Thurman. He was supposed to beat late replacement Fundora. He was looking great. Gets the cut, loses the fight. Fundora is now looked at as the favorite. Zhu goes on to lose to Bakram. And now Zhu's the underdog in this rematch, at least on paper. So I think it's very compelling in terms of how Vegas is going to look at this one and figure out the line. I think that's really interesting. Fundora vacates the WBO belt. So now Xander Zayas, who was supposed to fight Fundora, will be fighting Jorge Perez, who beat Conwell last week. This sucks for Conwell. He has to be just sick over this because it would have been Zayas Conwell for the WBO title.
That sucks.
That sucks for Conwell, but he lost. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, we talk about this all the time. Meritocracy doesn't exist in boxing. Well, sometimes it does because Perez beats Conwell to get this shot at Zayas. That aspect of it.
Perez is a tough cookie, though. That's not an easy fight for young Zayas.
No, that guy's streaking.
It's a big step up for him. He's on a 3-fight win streak. He scored a first round KO with a body shot on one of the cards on Top Rank, and then he beat up that good Cudratillo. He beat him up bad. And now he's, you know, he just beat Cromwell. Like you said, he's streaking right now. He's got a 3-fight win streak. That's very, very impressive.
Yeah. And I'm happy Zayas is getting the shot. He should, if he beats Perez, he's right in the mix. He's WBO champion. And now he becomes the hunted at 154. And this is another name I saw Virgil Ortiz. He's here in New York at the press conferences. Just, you know, he's such an interesting guy. He's just in the back. He was literally sitting in the back while the press conference was going on. No one around him. Just couldn't have been any more nondescript, Virgil Ortiz. One of the best fighters in the world. Didn't want any fanfare. Didn't have an entourage with him. Was barely getting recognized. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I found it refreshing. Virgil, just chilling.
Nah, he's just a cool dude, man. He's just a cool dude. Bam Rodriguez reminds me is like that, too.
He was there, too, Bam.
Just chill.
Bam's there as well.
Just hanging out. Two of the best fighters in the world. But budding superstars, both of them, both young guys. I think they're going to be major, major players for years to come. And yeah, they're just cool, chill dudes. They go out there and they fuck shit up. That's what they do.
Virgil couldn't, like, he's a dream probably for a promoter in terms of that. Like, he's not going to give you headaches. He's not going to be a Ryan Garcia anybody. In terms of a star. But man, he's so freaking good. And yeah, I was on the fence about going to the weigh-in as we record this. It's Thursday at 3:12. The weigh-in is at 6. I'm going away. I want to see who's around. I'm not getting any more content, but I just, you know, it's going to be nuts. Yeah, that's the show. There's 3 episodes this week. I hope everyone enjoyed it. It's exciting stuff. Like, I was texting my brother who edits the show. He was like, oh, damn. It's like you have a real job. Like three episodes in a week. It's a lot. It's a lot of work.
We normally do 2. So it's going to be more than that, though, because we did. Oh, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Then you're flying to Vegas Friday night. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I don't know when we're gonna do our recap. I mean, the recap. I haven't thought about that.
I guess the recap will be Monday. I guess it'll be Monday.
A super recap, a super mega recap. Maybe we could try to do one Saturday morning after this Times Square thing. I don't know. I'm not even thinking about that far ahead. I hope everyone enjoys this mega weekend and takes it all in. There's probably some sickos out there that are gonna watch every single fight.
I think there's going to be some relationships that are going to end this weekend. Husbands are going to lose their kids this weekend. Honey, we got to take the kids to swim practice. No. I got to watch fights.
No, I got to watch Canelo Skull. No, I got to watch F.A. Jock. What do you mean, honey? F.A. Jock was fighting Mark McColdy in Saudi Arabia. Got to watch that. Expensive weekend, too.
The missus is not going to love that.
No, there's a bundle. As for the single Dan, I will be... watching them all. F.A. Ajagwa. I don't know why I said F.A. Ajagwa. Maybe that's something.
It's a lot of shows this week, Dan. You've been live on here for a long time.
Not even just the shows. It's the content, too. Like, grabbing everyone and trying to do a bunch of these little mini mic stuff and work with some new partners.
Like your brother said, you have a job. You're actually
it's fun as hell. It's fun as hell. I want to impress our new... partner at Undisputed. Going to an Undisputed, they're having a little party tonight at a loft on the west side of Manhattan for the video game. Everyone's gonna be playing the video game. There's gonna be a DJ. There's gonna be open bar. I heard rumors that maybe Usyk will show up. He's in town. Everyone's in New York right now.
Not me.
Usyk is here. Not Chris Algieri.
Not me.
New York is the place to be. I hope everyone enjoys the weekend. We'll come back at some point to break it all down. This should be a wild one, everyone. Any final predictions, Chris? Loaded question for 9 fights. Who will steal the weekend? The entire weekend. We know we think Ryan Garcia will steal the show in Times Square. Who will steal this entire fight weekend?
I think Naoya Inoue. I think that he's going to go out there. The guy doesn't disappoint, and I think he understands the magnitude of him coming to the States. And he's a showman. He comes to the ring like a rock star. We've watched for those walkouts in the Tokyo Dome. Like, this guy shows up and he wants to perform. So I'm saying Naoya Inoue. And plus, just in terms of chronological, he's the last. He's almost like the main event of the weekend. Like, everything's built up for Naoya Inoue on Sunday afternoon, which is weird. It's on Sunday, but I think he's going to steal the show.
Canelo will get a stoppage, his first since 2021, but it will be probably the least viewed one of the weekend. But Ryan Garcia will steal the weekend because he's going to deliver a highlight reel knockout in the middle of Times Square, and it's going to be remembered for a very long time. That's my not-so-bold prediction for this incredible fight weekend. Enjoy it, everyone. Protect your hands. Protect your hands? I really am fraud. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Stay in your relationships. Don't lose your relationship over boxing this weekend.
Goodbye. Or do it. Who cares?
Yeah. Join us.
Join us.